Yeah, I could take care of that. She did good without notes. We'll give her a break. She does it. She does it a lot, you know, throwing a lot at her, you know. We're going to get right into communion in just a couple of minutes. We're going to have the whole service around communion. It's going to be a little bit different than we normally do. But let me say this. All the information is on the website, fcaphila.org. Click. Oh, look, banner ads and click things and no advertisement either. You know, it's nice. Messages, Bible study, all cool stuff's on there, right? And if you do that, you also can download the church app, and then you'll get these things on your phone. Yes. It's exciting. It's good. Say yay, we have this technology. And it's you're not going to get bombarded with all kind of stuff, you know? Plus your app will have a Bible on it and all that other kind of stuff. You'll be able to pray for people. There's a prayer wall. You can pray for people. That's a good stuff. Download it if you haven't already. Gloria's going to hold this up. Some of you may remember this. Bill Myers, who had been a friend of ours for many years, as you know, Bill, he was missionary to Indonesia with Tela Village. He passed last year. His son, Philip, came in, who's taken over the ministry and so forth. And a year before Bill passed, or a couple of years before, but he was here. Remember, he had cancer. He was completely healed. That was not. His son even affirmed that. He said, my dad wasn't just thinking about that. He was completely healed of that cancer. They went back and they got a clean report. Well, a year or so later, it did come back. But he said, when he prayed in that thing, he did get healed. In that time, the Lord kept him to write this devotional. And when I say write it, he really, really more organized the Gospels in a devotional, year-long devotional. And it's called 10 minutes or 15 minutes? 15 minutes with God. We had some when he was here, but they went kind of quickly. So Philip sent us another couple cases. I put some out on the table. If you want to take them with you, it's a great way just to have something different in your devotional time. And we can thank our brother Bill, you know, that the Lord, or we can thank our Father that he kept Bill here to put that together for us. So just they're in the back. If you need more, we'll put more out. We have enough of them, okay? And as you read them, though, pray for Tela Village Ministries and, is one of the things we support. In just a minute, I'm going to have the worship team come up. And let me just pray, Father, thank you for this time, for what we've already experienced. And Lord, what we will experience by faith as we trust you as we move forward in our service. Lord, let us remember the great sacrifice on Calvary, the price that was paid for our sin. Lord, we can never repay you at all. Lord, but let us offer ourselves back to you as living sacrifices. That's the only reasonable service we have. So, Lord, as we move on in this time, as we come to sit at your table, search our hearts and minds so that we can sit worthily and that we can glorify you, love one another, in Jesus' name. Amen. The Lord's Supper, communion, whatever you want to call it, it was instituted by Jesus, as you know, and they had that Last Supper together. You guys know this, but it goes way back in the Bible. It goes all the way back. I mean, it really could say it started in, you know, Genesis after the fall of man, where they tried to cover themselves up with fig leaves, right? Didn't they try to do that? They tried to make their own religion. Oh, I'll cover myself, my shame before God. I'll do something. I'll sew fig leaves together so I can present myself. It didn't work. They hid from God. You know the story. God showed them that an animal, blood had to be shed for sin. Now, that was just a temporary covering, but he instituted it back then that the blood of an animal, something had to die because of our sin. Another poor animal lost its life because of our sin. When sin came into the world, what followed it? Death by sin. There was no death before that. It was perfect in the garden, you know. Then we know when later when Israel was in captivity, they were in Egypt, they cried out for what? Over 400 years to be delivered. They couldn't free themselves, could they? They were bound. They were slaves. God sent Moses, the deliverer, and on the night they were being delivered after the plagues, they had to take what? A lamb. Right? Kill the lamb. and roast it whole. They couldn't boil it. They couldn't eat it raw. They had to roast it whole. No bones broken, a whole lamb, and consume that lamb. By fire they had to roast it because it was representative later of the Lamb of God who would come to shed his life for us or give his life for us, but also the fire, if you will, of the payment for our sin. You know the story. They took the lamb for the household, put the blood on the doorpost and the lintel, so that when the angel of death came that night, he would pass over the house of the Egyptians. Pharaoh finally relented at that final plague, said, go! Right? Go! Get out! They left, took the spoils with them. God put them in the wilderness there area between the Red Sea and this other in place where they could not pass, and then Pharaoh's armies came and they were stuck. And they're all ready to throw Moses in the river and kill him because, oh, what'd you do to us? We'd have been better as slaves. And Moses cries out, and what's God do? Parts the sea. Israel, all couple million of them, whatever, a million and a half of them, whatever, walk through the dry land as the seas up there, go through the other side. All of them made it through. Pharaoh has hardened his heart at this point. He said, I want to get them back. They're mine. I'm not going to let them go. We can't lose, 2 million slaves. We'll kill our economy. We'll kill our way of life. I'm going to go after them. He leads his whole army into the Red Sea. And when they all get in there, God, Pharaoh and all his army die. Because Pharaoh legally owned them, when he died, those Israelites on the other side were set free. Set free. They had no owner anymore, no master. He's dead. The old one's dead. The master's dead. They're set free. But what was their job? To walk now in this new life, which they didn't do right. They didn't get it right, ever, really. But for 40 years, they didn't get it right because they didn't trust God. Amen? We've been talking a lot about walking in the Spirit, walking in his power. Once we're saved, to walk in this new life, to walk in the power. Mark referred to it today. You're in the light. Walk in that light, right? We have to walk in the light of Christ, walk in his power. We come to sit at the table today to remember what Jesus did. The great sacrifice. He did it. He did what we can never do. Who would like to read? Somebody like to read? You want to read? Go ahead. Read that nice and loud. Yeah, you could put your mic on too so the people at home could hear it too. Yeah. And then Psalm 22, just some of the verses.
But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while on my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from birth, from my mother's womb. You have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, for there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls of Bashan have enclosed me, encircled me. They gape at me with their mouths like a raging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue clings to my jaws. You have brought me to the dust of death, for dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked has enclosed me. They pierce my hands and my feet. I can count all my bones. They look and stare at me. They divide my garments among them, and for my clothing they cast lots.
About 1,000 years before they invented crucifixion, in Psalm 22, showing and prophesying what type of death Jesus would die for us. Who else has a nice reading voice who would like to read for us? You don't care if you have a good reading voice. Who would like to? Joe, would you like to read? Okay. Would you read? You have your Bible? If you don't have your Bible, you can't read. Okay, good. Open your Bible up, okay? Open it up and read for us Isaiah 53, nice and loud. Yeah. That's okay. Take your time. Yep. Okay. Hold the form. Thanks, Jim. Go ahead. Just read it. Yep. Read the psalm. They'll hold it for you. That's okay. It should be on. You're good. We could hear you. We could hear you. No, you're good. He tried to find you, Joe. He tried to find, except in the book of Revelation where you see the glorified Lord, a description of Jesus in the Bible, you will not find one, except for here and in Psalm 22 a little bit. What do we see him? We see him on a cross. We see him ripped apart, bruised. We see him with the stripes, his body broken. We see piercing in his hands and his feet. We see him with his beard ripped out. We see him so that he is unrecognizable as a human being. That's how we see him. That's how we see Jesus. That's the picture we have. Why? Someone has to die for your sin, for my sin. The animals couldn't cut it. They could only temporarily cover it. John the Baptist said, and Jesus started his ministry, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." The precious Lamb came. And it says, it pleased God, the Lord, to bruise him. Pleased him. to make his soul an offering for sin. Pleased God to bruise Jesus? To brutalize him till he was unrecognizable? Beaten to a pulp as his lifeblood poured out of him? As he was gasping for breath? Why? Because he loves you. It pleased the Lord to do that because he loves you. And, you know, I have a hard time, and I know, like all of us, you know, I know the cross, and I read about it, and I've read about it, and I've meditated on it, and I've seen even depictions of it, and it's horrific and all this stuff. But, you know, my mind, you know, and though I know what he did, I try not to think about the brutality because it's just so great. But you know what? It goes even deeper than that. Because the brutality of the cross, the physical nature of the cross, of what he went through physically, was only part of it. At some point while he was on the cross, that sinless, perfect Lamb of God without speck, without one sin in him, became sin. He took on our sin. Somewhere on that cross, the one who knew no sin became sin. And if that wasn't bad enough, when he was on the cross and became sin, then at some point, as the Father looked away, the penalty for that sin was poured out. That fire that the lamb was roasted in, that Passover lamb, the fire, the dregs, the judgment of God upon the sin of mankind. Not Jesus' sin. He had no sin. It was our sin that he took upon himself, was poured out upon him in full measure. Every rapist, every child molester, every murderer, thief, liar, because he loved us, and he loves us now. What do we do with that knowledge that's so great? What do we do with that knowledge that's so great? When evening had come, he sat down with the 12. Now as they were eating, he said, "Assuredly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." And they were exceedingly sorrowful. And each of them began to say to him, "Lord, is it I?" He answered and said, "He who dipped his hand with me in the dish will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes just as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would have been good for that man if he had not been born." Then Judas, who was betraying him, answered and said, "Rabbi, is it I?" And he said to him, "You've said it." And as they were eating, Jesus took bread, blessed and broke it, and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body." Then he took the cup and gave thanks and gave it to them, saying, "Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is shed for many for the remission of sin. But I say to you, I will not drink of this fruit of the vine from now on until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom." And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Jesus sat with them that last night when he wanted so longingly to have that meal with them. And you know, before he did that, what did he do? He washed their feet. They started dinner. Then at some point, Jesus stopped it. He took off his outer garment, put on a towel, and he began to do the most menial task reserved for the least of the servants. And began to wash their feet. And he gets to Peter, and you know, typical Peter said, "Not me, Lord, you'll never wash my feet." And Jesus says, "Peter, if I don't wash your feet, you have no part of me." And then again, typical Peter, "Then give me a full bath, give me a shower, wash everything." He says, "Peter, listen, you've already been cleaned by the words I've spoken to you. But I got to wash your feet because your feet are dirty. Your feet are dirty. Jesus had told them a lot of this stuff before. They just couldn't process everything. It was hard for them to accept it. Even now as they're seeing it, he's going to tell them, I'm going away. And they're like, where are you going? I mean, all these different things. Don't let your heart be troubled, guys. You know, all this stuff. All this stuff is taking place. But as I was meditating on this the last couple days, something caught my eye. You know, Judas at one point is going to be like, hey, you know, is it me? And he said, yeah, you said it. But you know what? You may have missed it when I read it. But did you notice when Jesus said to them, somebody will betray me, they all said, is it I? In the Greek, it's actually posed this way. Surely not I. Surely not I. But why would they say it? Now, they didn't have a plan. Judas already made the plan. He already knew what he was going to do. He already had the deal cut with them for the 30 pieces of silver. He already had it. It was already in place. The Bible says that when Jesus said to him, you've said it, then he left, and that's when Satan entered into him. But he had already gone. He was already gone. He was already betraying Jesus. He was the betrayer. But the rest of them didn't have a plan like that, did they? What would prompt them to say, surely not I, Lord? Could it be because they knew somewhere in their heart they were capable of it? That they realized that somewhere along the way they may have thought of certain things like, what's he doing? Should I still be following him? I left my family for this. I thought about maybe. You know, we want to come to the table, and I don't know how many times you feel when you come to the table and you say to yourself, you know, I'm talking about the communion table, and say, can I sit at this table? Well, guess what? In yourself, you can't. Because every one of us can surely say, surely is it I, Lord? Surely is it I that ran and cursed that guy down the street when he, you know, looked at me funny? Surely is it I that ran over and started screaming and yelling at my wife and or my husband when this happened? Surely is it I, Lord? That surely is it I that turned a blind eye when you clearly showed me somebody that needed help and I was too busy? Surely is it I, Lord? Surely is it I? Surely is it I that I went this way when you told me to go that way? Surely is it I that my feet ran in the other direction? Surely is it I, Lord? Surely is it I that when I was out with my friends, I denied you? I didn't speak up? Or I said some stupid mealy-mouthed words or something, or I laughed when they made fun of me going to church and being a Jesus person or whatever. Surely is it I? I'm sure you felt that way sometimes, haven't you? Yet in that, we see the grace of God. We do. We see the grace of God because he did not say what he said to Judas, go and do what you're going to do, and it'd be better if you weren't born. He said to them, I'm going to prepare a place for you. He said, and where I am, you will be also. And guess what? When you see me 3 days from now, guess what? Your world's going to change, man. And it's going to be so much better because not only am I going to be with you like this, I'm going to be living inside of you. And I'm going to prepare you to go out and tell the whole world about me. Me? Who thought about this or wanted to quit? Me, like Peter, who after Jesus died and Peter denied him, went to go back to the family business of fishing because he figured I'm not worthy for anything? Can Peter be used by God? Can Joe be used by God? Can Deepa be used by God? Can Rick be used by God? Can Lisa be used by God? Can Eileen be used by God? Yeah. Yeah. Well, surely not I. Yeah, surely you. But you don't know. He does. I don't. He does. And yet he loved you. And he died for you. And he shed his blood for you, and he washed away your sin, and he wants to now wash your feet. Because you know what? Even though you've been cleansed because of his blood, we walk in this world, and sometimes through our feet walking the wrong way, they get dirty. Who's got dirty feet today? See, he wants to wash it when it's there at your feet. He doesn't want it to just go up to your ankles or your calf or your thigh or even or higher. No, he wants to wash them so we can sit at the table and rejoice. We've been talking about being filled with the Spirit. That's it. We have to deny our bodies, our flesh, because we can't live it. Surely it will be me who somehow does things that I shouldn't be doing, or surely it will be me who does something I don't want to do, whatever it is. Lord, help me. I cannot do it. But he said he'd do it in us if we would just let him, if we would pick up the cross and follow him. Right? If you say you have no sin, the Bible calls it, not me, the Bible says, you're a liar. But if you have sin and you confess your sin, he is faithful and just to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Somebody better say amen. We want to sit at the table. And I want to sit at this table today rejoicing for what he's done for us. I want to sit at this table being able to know that, yes, my feet are dirty. If I take some time to repent, that he will wash my dirty feet so that I can sit at his table fresh and clean and ready to be filled with his presence and power to not only glorify our Father, which we want to do, but to love my brethren, because that's what he told him when he washed his feet. He said, I set an example for you guys. Wash one another's feet. To serve one another is a beautiful thing. It's humbling, and a lot of us need that humility. And you begin to become that way when you begin to serve one another. Even that one? Yeah, even that one. Even the one over there? Yeah, it's humbling to serve one another. But Jesus said it's the pathway of blessing. Wow. Had the worship team come already up, because they're going to sing a song that we may have sung, I heard we sang it a couple weeks ago, but the Lord laid it on my heart this morning, because none of this makes sense except for his love. And I want us to search our hearts right now and have the Holy Spirit search our hearts. If anything within us is not, should not be where it is. And I want us to ask ourselves, Lord, why would you do that on the cross for me? Why would you take that brutality from me? I don't deserve it. And yes, you don't. But think about his love. Think about it as we prepare.
Think about his grace that brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. So great is the measure of our Father's love.
Go on, yeah, go on.
Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
How could I forget?
Could I forget his love? How can I forget his mercy? He satisfies, satisfies, satisfies my desire. about his love. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens abide, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love. Even when I strain away, his love swept me out and found me. Think about his goodness. Think about his grace that's brought us through. For as high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's. How can I forget his love? How can I forget his mercy? He satisfies, satisfies, he satisfies my desire. Think about his love. Think about his goodness.
Think about his grace that's
brought us through.
For as
high as the heavens above, so great is the measure of our Father's love. Great is the measure of our Father's love.
Paul wrote that, therefore, whoever eats the bread or drinks the cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of sinning against the body and the blood of our Lord. A man ought to examine himself before he eats of the bread and drinks of the cup, for anyone who eats and drinks without recognizing the body of the Lord eats and drinks judgment on himself. That's why we take time to meditate. That's why we take time to ask the Lord to wash us and cleanse us. That's why we take time to have the Lord search our hearts and minds. And I want to say something. The Bible also goes on to say, and Paul says this also. He says, listen, he says in the chapter before, he said, basically, maybe you think you can do it on your own. He says, well, therefore, whoever thinks that he can stand, take heed lest he fall. You know, there's no temptation, he goes on to say, that has overtaken us except is common to all of us. But God is faithful. He will not allow us to be tempted above what we're able, but the temptation, with the temptation, will also be a way of escape that we'll be able to bear it up. The thing is, Father, help me now not to think I could stand in my own strength. If you do, you're going to be like Israel, and you're going to wander through your Christian walk for 40 years, just wandering, never walking in the promised land, never walking in his power, never walking in his strength. So I'm going to give us just a couple more minutes. I think we have, we can just do briefly the next song that you guys had picked, and just a few more minutes to ask the Holy Spirit to just search our hearts and minds, to remember what Jesus did for us and how he paid the debt for our salvation upon that cross, and that our chains are gone. We have been set free. Now let's walk in the power of this new life with the Holy Spirit's strength.
Amazing grace, how sweet the sound that saved a wretch like me. I once was lost, but now I'm found. Was blind, but now I see. grace that taught my heart to you, and grace my fears relieved. How precious did that grace appear the hour I first believed. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains. Amazing love, amazing grace.
The Lord has
promised good to me. His word, my hope, secure.
He will my shield
and portion be as long as life endures. My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me, and like a flood His mercy rains. Unending love, amazing grace.
My chains are gone, I've been set free. My God, my Savior has ransomed me.
His mercy reigns, unending love,
amazing
grace.
The earth shall soon dissolve like snow, the sun forbear to shine. But God who called me here below will be forever mine, will be forever mine.
You are forever mine.
On the night He was betrayed, He took bread, and when He had given thanks, break it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me." Thank you, Jesus. In the same manner also, He took the cup when He had supped, saying, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as ye drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as ye drink this eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death until He comes." Thank you, Jesus. As often as you do it, as often as you do it, there's no time frame on it, except as often as we do it, you do it in remembrance of Him, and you show His death until He comes. And what a day that will be. In the meantime, let's walk in the freedom that He has purchased, in the power of His Spirit, and walk in love towards one another, and let the world that needs to see and know there's a risen Savior who loves them in spite of their sins and died for them to set them free. He is there for them. Let's go out and tell the world about it as we live it first. So let's stand together. And they sang a hymn. We're going to sing one more song as we close.